You're listening to The Drive Home on 710 KURV. Zach Cantu, Roxanne Flores, and Davis Rankin. And we're going to speak in English, but we're going to speak about German in English. There was a time, I'm told, I never heard it, when you could walk into a store in Fredericksburg, northwest of San Antonio, and German was spoken. German was commonly spoken there. German was once, I think, the second most spoken language in San Antonio. Now, that's going back a long ways. The so-called Texas German is a Spanish is not disappearing. Texas German apparently is. Someone who's studying that, who's making an academic study out of it, is Hans Boas, who is in the German Department, Department of Germanic Studies at the University of Texas at Austin. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. What attracts you to the study of, I gather, a soon-to-be defunct language?
Thanks for having me on the program. Mm-hmm. Texas German is very fascinating. It's an immigrant dialect that's been around for more than 150 years. It's a mix of different German dialects coming to Texas in the 1840s, and the descendants over the generations have basically created their own unique German dialect that's a mix out of all these different German dialects, and then there's a heavy infusion of English. So Texas German is a unique dialect. It's uniquely Texan, and it's found nowhere else in the world.
When did Germans start immigrating to this country in the mid-1800s, did they not?
To Texas, they started coming in the late 1820s, to North America already in the 16th, 17th century.
Oh, wow. I was, I guess the reason I got interested in it, I should tell the listeners, is my father had retired, was in an old folks home in Burney, northwest of San Antonio, now functionally San Antonio. And it was a charming German town 20 years ago. Now it's in San Antonio, and it's so I started reading about all the German settlements around there, Fredericksburg, and to the west. And I was fascinated to discover that all the immigrants didn't understand it, that the dialects one could not understand another. I just think of German as German. What was going on?
There's so many different German dialects from the north to the south, from the east to the west. So if you got someone from the very north of Germany and someone from the very south of Germany, and they would speak their local dialects, they would have a hard time understanding each other. They could still understand each other to some degree, but without some knowledge of a more regional variety of German or some standard German, that would have been a little bit difficult.
Is there such a thing as High German, an official?
There's something that you call Standard German, which is the official language of Germany that's been around since roughly the 1870s, 1880s. You can compare it to something similar in English. English has different dialects. If you take someone from Australia and the Outer Banks and Northern Scotland, and you put them in the same room and they don't speak a standard variety of English, but only their local dialects, they will have a hard time understanding each other. It's very similar.
Hans Boas is a professor of German studies, Germanic studies, they call it, in the Department of and Linguistics. I'm trying to get this right. Actually, it has a very long title. I'm trying to shorten on the fly. But he has been studying Texas German, which is a dialect developed by all the Germans who came here to understand each other. And
that's so cool. I have a question for you, Professor. When Davis first introduced this topic to me, I thought, what? You know, there's Texas German? What is that? What does that mean? So, you know, I'm looking at this like in something, wow, that is so cool. How many people don't even know there is such thing as Texas German?
Well, not a whole lot of people know about it, unless you come from one of the regions where there were lots of German immigrants. You know, if you go back into the early 20th century, every fourth Texan was German-speaking.
Was I right? Is my memory right that at one time in San Antonio, lots of people spoke German? It was heard more than Spanish?
Almost, yes. So up until the 1930s, San Antonio was pretty much a trilingual city. It was English, German, and Spanish. Up until World War I, certain sections of San Antonio had only German street signs.
I worked in a newspaper in West Texas, and the town of Old Glory, north of Abilene, had been Heidelberg until World War I. And the German immigrants or descendants thereof changed the name to because we were at war with the Kaiser. Is that one reason why German is less spoken, you think? Because of the wars we've been involved in?
Yes, sir. That was one of the major reasons. You had about 3 to 4 generations of German immigrants living in Texas and throughout the United States more generally. And then World War One happens. The United States enters World War One in 1917, and it's one of the bloodiest conflicts in history. And it's a vicious war. And all of a sudden, you find the United States fighting against Germany. And within the United States, you have millions and millions of people who look like the enemy, who talk like the enemy, who sing like the enemy, yeah. who are kind of like the enemy. They just happen to live in the United States and are U.S. citizens. They just happen to be German-speaking, in most cases, German and English-speaking. And so overnight, the perception of what it meant to be an American automatically became only English-speaking, became not German, not Czech, not Italian, not Polish-speaking, but only English-speaking. So that was a major break, a major rupture in the transmission of the various immigrant languages, specifically from Europe within Texas.
Professor,
and the Midwest, well.
Yeah.
You know, in Spanish, there's different, you know, we had different accents. You can tell when one's Cuban,
exactly.
Puerto Rican, Dominican, et cetera, Mexican.
Exactly.
And so is that how it was here in Texas? Because then I'm also thinking they didn't understand themselves. There's different dialects. You mentioned earlier in Germany, there's different ways it's spoken. But was it like a whole word was different, had a different meaning? I'm thinking, like, for example, in Spain, bolígrafo means pen. But in Mexico or here
yes.
in the valley, we say pluma, you know, which is something probably
exactly.
different. But is that how it was? Is that why they didn't really get to understand each other and why there was such a thing as Texas German?
They could understand each other. I would say there were maybe 5 to 8% of the vocabulary that was different between
okay.
the dialects. So you could kind of figure it out from context, but I wouldn't go as far to say that they could not understand each other.
Okay.
They spoke distinct dialects, and they, over time, got together and accommodated into a sort of more coherent dialect.
Well, what's the state of the language of Texas German now?
It's in decay. It's time is running out. There's not too much time left. This is the 6th and the 7th generation of Texas German speakers. The youngest speakers are in their late 60s, early 70s, and it hasn't been passed on to younger generations. So we have about another 10, 15 years left to record, document, and archive the language and the culture.
Oh, I'm just a little bit bummed because I know I just found out about this whole Texas German thing, and I know a lot of our listeners didn't even know that was a thing. But to be so excited about first hearing about it to saying, well, you know, it's almost dying. So it's kind of like, man.
Is there any place we can go now and walk in a store and hear people speaking authentically and not putting on for the tourists?
You can try different places in Fredericksburg or in New Braunfels, in Round Top, in New Ulm, in New Berlin. There's a number of different places, Weimar, Columbus, where you can still hear Texas German spoken, but you have to be lucky.
Weimar's a giveaway. Seems to me.
Exactly.
Is there any place in America that still retains a German dialect spoken?
There is many different dialects of German spoken in the United States. The traditional immigrant languages or the traditional immigrant dialects coming to the U.S. You find throughout the Midwest where they're on their last leg. So it's Texas, it's Oklahoma, Kansas, it's Indiana, it's Wisconsin, it's Pennsylvania. The only dialects of German descent that are really alive and thriving are those spoken by the Amish and by the Mennonites.
Wow.
They have a religious sort of motivation to keep the language alive. So they actually speak two types of German dialects. One is the sort of traditional dialect from a particular region in Germany that was brought over in the 16th and 17th century to North America. And then at church, they speak a variety of standard German. So in those families, in the old order, traditional Amish and Mennonite colonies, you still find German very strong.
And so what they're speaking, if I understand you right, is German as it was spoken when they arrived here, and they've just not, it's an antique German, an old German.
It is definitely an older variety of German because it's been isolated from the mainland continental Europe for so long. It has changed, too, in the last 200 years, but it is a very distinct dialect. So if you compare the dialect spoken by the Amish and the Mennonites today with some of the regional dialects in Germany from where they came originally, you can tell lots and lots of parallels.
All right. Well, one thing we can't escape is time. Hans Boas is in the Department of Germanic Studies and Linguistics at the University of Texas Austin studying Texas German. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. And I won't attempt to say goodbye in German. You're listening to 710 KURV.